This is the Modern Leader Podcast, presented by the Leadership Institute of Indianapolis. You can find out more about the Institute at leadershipinstituteofindianapolis.com. Now your hosts, Bill Caskey and Terry Sarbanoff.
This is Bill Caskey back at the Modern Leader Podcast with my cohort and colleague, Terry Sarbanoff.
How you doing, Bill?
Fine, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Topic today, why do leaders rot when they get to the top?
Ouch.
How about that?
It kind of hurts.
Actually, I don't know if that rhymes or not. Rot, does rot rhyme
rot
with top?
Top? Not especially.
Not really.
That's if you went to Ball State, Bill.
Okay. Here's what happened. I was reading the Weekend Journal, the Wall Street Journal Weekend Edition this week, and there was a great article by a guy named Jonah Lehrer. I don't know who Jonah is, but it was well written, and it was called The Power Trip. And it says, contrary to the Machiavellian cliche, nice people are more likely to rise to power. Then something strange happens. Authority undermines the very talents that got them there. And I read this article with a great deal of interest because of your and our work at the Leadership Institute. And I want to talk to you a little bit about if there are leaders who are listening to this podcast, A, what does all this mean for them? B, if I'm a leader, how do I recognize maybe I'm rotting? Maybe I'm the guy that nobody wants to work for. Maybe I have become that guy. And then what to do about it. So I want to first get your impression of the article itself and just rant a little bit on what you see. And you coach people, 48 hours a week. So you kind of see what's out there. Tell us a little bit about what you thought of the article.
Well, first of all, I found that to be a very profound article and a very timely article. I wish this article was written 20 years ago, because it would have helped me with an argument with my ex-partner, who I adore and I respect totally. But we had a disagreement on what leadership looked like. He tried to teach me the leadership had to be something that was feared and was the respect was way more important than whether you were liked or disliked. And instinctively, to be honest with you, it was just an intuitive thing. I just didn't buy that. I guess that's because I didn't feel I had a lot of reason to be respected. But I worked real hard on being liked.
Being liked, yeah.
And that's kind of how my success started manifesting itself. So the article, what it does, it kind of affirms all this. It talks about the old Machiavellian theory that if it's between fear and love, if your employees have to either fear or love you, you should choose fear. It's the old Machiavellian theory, and that's just proven not correct today.
So tell me what you see. You have watched, as you coach leaders, you have watched them assume larger and larger roles of leadership. So maybe the person who once led a division then or a department then leads a division, then leads a company. So you've seen people escalate and rise. What is it that happens to people as they rise? What is this authority thing that kind of gets in the way?
We've seen it our whole life if we really just sit back and reflect on this. And no offense to police officers, but you hear this a lot when the guy gets his badge. Person's never had authority before, gets authority and power, how it can be abused. It's quite a common dynamic, but it doesn't work in corporate America. It destroys teams. It destroys enthusiasm. It destroys momentum that a team might need to create. It just takes all the wind out of your sails. People don't know how to handle power. And some people are driven by power, and it becomes an obsession. It's what they're all about. So in order to gain power, the article refers to the fact that you gain power by being likable today, using our interpersonal sensitivity skills, not our competencies, not our control mechanisms, not our force, but our likability. Mm-hmm. And that's how we get where we are. And the article, of course, Bill, as you know, talks about then there's a 180 on these people forget all about how they got where they are. And they start abusing people with their power. It doesn't work. If you tie into that concept, the fact that some people are driven by power, now you see why some people really have to be coached. They have to learn how to mitigate that and manage that personality, that power, that need for power.
So if I'm driven by power, if that is an incentive for me and that's what I'm all about, that's what I live my life for, and that's why I do everything or do a lot of things I do during the day, am I going to be a worse leader when I get in power versus someone who really doesn't have a power need? They just are in that position?
No, in fact, your better leaders are driven by power. It's okay to be driven by power as long as you manage that motivation.
Okay.
Where we get in trouble is when we don't keep that in its boundaries.
Okay.
We just let it control us. And it's all about power. Where we get in trouble is if that's the only thing that drives us. People aren't going to be compelled to follow us. They're going to be afraid of us. They're going to fear us. They're only going to follow us when they have to.
There was a recent thing that happened at HP, where Mark Hurd, the CEO, was relieved of his duties or quit. I'm not sure what really happened, but because of this dalliance he had with one of the vendors. Well, it turns out that I've read some articles about it from people in the know. It turns out that that wasn't the only reason that he was let go, is that he was let go because a lot of people didn't like him. And his behavior was kind of what this article talks about, this authority figure who runs rough over people. And people just didn't – they might have respected his power position, but they didn't respect him and didn't like him.
Yeah. Yeah, and the funny – see, we grew up in a generation – us baby boomers grew up in it being taught and supposed to think we had to follow the rules. And if we ended up in an organization with poor leadership or abusing leadership, we just thought bad luck, draw the cards, but we stayed the course. We didn't jump jobs. Well, today, the talent today – won't put up with what we put up with. So different rules. I think you wrote the book, Same Game, Different Rules. Mm-hmm. That's leadership too. Same game, different rules. We don't have these people held hostage or captive, I should say, like we were held captive.
We just had to put up with it.
We had to. We had not many options. Today, the real talent, they got a lot of options. Yeah. And putting up with a jerk isn't one of the things they choose to do.
So let's talk about if I'm a listener and I'm in a position of leadership in my firm, department, or company, how do I know that I haven't become this on this power trip? Because I would suspect that even people in this article they cite would not admit to that. Yeah. Are people really that self-aware that they know they've changed? Of course not. So what tip can you give first to decide whether I have become that person?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I got a very profound answer. Probably the most, I think this is probably the most important one coaching tip we've ever given for free over the air, Bill. Here it goes.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Free. I know that's spelled F-R-E. here it is. You got to be empathetic. And it's way outside our comfort zone to be empathetic. What do I mean by that? Your question was, how do we know if we're perceived as power mongrels or we're abusing our power in the eyes of the people that report to us? Ask them. Ask them how they feel about me as a leader.
It's not real complicated, is it?
No, but it's uncomfortable. Yeah. And that's why we don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, especially now think about this, the dichotomy of this. A high-powered person surrendering to that. That's why we have to be coached.
So that's why the person who's driven by power might not naturally default to asking people because it's so far against their nature. Whereas the person who has interpersonal sensitivity probably cares about what people think about their newfound power.
Yeah. These people that are driven by power who don't think they have to ask what other people think are the ones they're going to lose. That's our friend from HP. That's what happened. Yeah. He was so powerful, he didn't think it mattered what other people thought.
So give me the conversation then. So if I'm listening to this and I have a team of 10 or 12 people, and when you say ask, okay, that sounds easy, but there's probably a right and a wrong way to ask and a right question to ask. Mm-hmm. What are the questions or what is the question that you would recommend?
It's a great question again. Here it is, real simply put. How do you feel? You put the direct report in the room, or it could be a colleague for that matter, or you know what? It could even be a family member. Where I have power, and I have power over my family, I'm the head of the family, and you look at him, and you have to do two things. You simply have to ask, how do you feel about the way I lead? How do you feel about the way I treat you as your leader? But there's a second part that most people just forget to do or don't know to do, and that is you have to defuse them and allow them to tell you the truth and be comfortable telling you the truth. A powerful person who's trying to understand how they come off to other people can't just ask a question. They got to ask a question, and then they got to say something like this.
Got to shut up and listen.
Yeah, and they got to say, look, even if it hurts me, I want to hear the truth. Yeah. I don't want you to tell me what you think I want to hear. I want to know how you feel about me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where empathy comes in, is right. I'm empathetic toward the person I'm asking because I really do care about what they think.
Yeah.
About me and my leadership style.
Yeah, and how about this, Bill? You knew this statistic, but 85% of the people tested by the Hogan Assessment, which is a tool we use for coaching, out of a database of 500,000 a year, 85% of us have an empathy issue, meaning we lack enough empathy. 100% of the people we test think they're empathetic.
Mm-hmm. Huge gap.
Huge gap.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Well, I appreciate your time today. This has been very helpful. I think this article, if you haven't seen it yet, listeners, go to wallstreetjournal.com. I think it's wsj.com and search on The Power Trip. and it's by Jonah Lehrer, who was author of How We Decide, and Proust. Was it Proust or Proust?
I think it's Proust.
Proust was a neuroscientist, which I have not read that yet, but maybe someday. Okay, thanks for your time, Terry.
Enjoy the bill.
Go to leadershipinstituteofindianapolis.com if you'd like to download other episodes of the Modern Leader Podcast or read some of Terry's blog or watch videos. Thanks for listening.
This is the Modern Leader Podcast, presented by the Leadership Institute of Indianapolis. You can find out more about the Institute at leadershipinstituteofindianapolis.com. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes or by going to modernleaderpodcast.com and putting in your email address. You'll be notified every time a new episode is released.